to Podcast Evolved, your home for Halo. I am your host, Krista, and with me today is a chaotic group of people, very, very on topic and very put together and ready to go. We have Aaron.
Hi, guys.
We have Oren.
Heyo.
And we have Mr. Jurassic Park himself, Tom.
I'm scared and I want to go home.
Tom's actually going to only be talking about Jurassic Park in this episode, so it might get a little confusing halfway through.
What can I say? Life finds a way.
All right. This week, topic continues our lore series, The Road to Infinite, with number 16, open world and post-launch content in the Halo franchise. We are going to be taking you through some of the open world things we've seen and some of the post-launch stuff we have seen in the Halo universe, and then adapt it to what we might think is going to be going on with Halo Infinite. All right, but before we get started, I have to read you guys this huge paragraph, so I hope you're ready. It only keeps getting bigger, actually. Like, every week, I feel like this paragraph becomes a little bit bigger. If you're new to the show, welcome. Podcast Evolved is host to a variety of shows. This, right here, right now, what you're listening to in your ear holes, is our main show where we talk Halo news, Halo lore, and to you, the listeners. Our other shows are Mission Debrief, Halo Book Club, and Builds with Blocks. And you can find those on our awesome website, halopodcastevolved.com. If you are already a fan of the show, we ask you to rate us and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate all the feedback we receive from our listeners to improve the quality of our shows. This means constructive criticism as well. We appreciate any kind of feedback we can get. If you are interested in the Halo Championship Series or a fan of esports in general, check out HCS Pro Talk with Josh and Will. On their show, they discuss the latest information within the competitive Halo scene with an emphasis on the community every single week. You can learn about stuff we have no idea about every single week. And you can find them on your favorite podcast feed. Again, that is HCS Pro Talk for all of your esports Halo goodness stuff. We would like to take a moment to thank all of our patrons for their continued support. Thank you so much! We love you! Yay!
Yay!
Guys.
Thank you very
much.
Can
we have the grunt noise when we do that every week?
Possibly, but I added that into the last episode quite a few times.
Perfect. We just need one of those like soundboards where as we're recording we can just click it.
Did you add that into the character
the
dossier
Palmer
episode?
One? Yes.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that one then.
Did you put that over our boos?
No, it went after the boos quite a few times, so it was just like boo, yay, boo, yay. The one time someone asked for it and was like, oh, we should put the grunt yay here, I didn't put it. So, like, people would have been just, like, expecting it.
You're diabolical with these, aren't you?
Turns out it's really easy to have that loaded on the paste button and just fire it in wherever the hell you want.
Perfect.
Now you're thinking with portals.
Yay! Anyway, our patrons receive a variety of exclusive rewards, such as early episodes, unique swag, and access to our soundtrack album featuring 18 songs sung by me. Head over to patreon.com/halopodcastevolved to learn more. And finally, we encourage our listeners to support Audible, where they can enjoy a growing collection of Halo novels all in one place, along with thousands of other novels, guided wellness programs, and more. Use the URL audibletrial.com/podcastevolved to learn more and start your free trial today. All right, that was the paragraph. We did it. We got through the paragraph. All right, what have you bozos been doing this week? I know what Oren's been doing. He's been picking locks.
Everyone, this episode almost didn't happen today because I got a haircut. And Margot dropped me off at the place that I get a haircut. And she was like, oh, just get like an Uber home or something or take the subway. I was like, yeah, no problem. So I get a city bike and I bike across the park and then hop in the subway and then get home with like 5 minutes to spare before we're starting to record. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, yes, I get to talk about Halo. This is going to be amazing. And I go up my steps and I realize I didn't get the house keys from Margot because they're on her keychain in her car because she dropped me off. I went downstairs into the basement where all the like electrical shit is, and there's a lockbox with a 3-digit combination, and I called the super and I was like, "Yo man, I think there's extra keys behind this door here. What's the code?" And he goes, "Oh, well, I'm new. Like they just hired me on like Friday, so I don't really know. But I'll see if I can find out and I'll call you back." And I was like, "Okay." So I found a paint can and I put it right next to the lockbox. I took a squat and I spent the next, I don't know, half hour trying combination after combination.
Is that legal or are you a criminal now?
It's weird. I broke into a lockbox containing spare keys where I used one of the spare keys to get into my own apartment. I think it would be illegal if maybe I used the other keys to get into other people's apartments. Which is kind of funny because there was a moment where I was taking a break because, you know, I was afraid my fingers were going to start bleeding. And I, like, looked down one of the hallways and there's actually a camera at the end of the hallway.
Someone's been watching you.
If anyone's looking at this, they're going to see that I literally sat here for a half hour doing the code. Which is, it's too funny. The code was like 900 and something. And so I started from 000 and worked all the way up.
Jesus Christ. And,
I have 2 blisters on my thumbs. But guys, that's how dedicated I am to doing this show for you, the listeners.
Did your hair look good as you did it?
My hair looks fabulous.
At least the camera saw, they were like, that guy has really nice hair sitting there.
I'm going to send you guys my haircut. Maybe we should put this photo on our Instagram.
Oren's haircut as he does illegal things.
I'm glad someone's hair looks good because I'm considering getting a hairband at the minute.
I just shave it all off.
No, I refuse to go for the quarantine haircut. I'm going to wait till my barber's opened again. But the wind blew the other day and the hair behind, like my sideburns, blew in front of my eyes. And I was like, shit's getting a bit long.
Dude, my barber, he's Israeli and his name is Orhan.
Oh, that's kind of confusing.
I have to go to you for the rest of my life now.
Oh, your hair does look very nice. Very fabulous.
I'm currently logging into the Instagram.
To post this.
Oh, to post. So that's what I've done, you know, an hour ago. But I did play some Halo 5 with Tom. Tom, why don't you tell everybody what you and I did the other day?
Oh God, what did you do? Was it inappropriate? Did Oren make you do illegal things? I know he does stuff like that.
We got to play some Warzone Firefight, which was really fun. We were basically just chatting Halo while we were playing, so I kind of feel like we had an exclusive podcast episode to ourselves where it's basically just me chatting a lot of Halo shit.
It is kind of weird when we hang out outside the podcast, because it's like, oh, this is great content. Oops, no one will hear this.
Wait, you guys hang out outside of the podcast?
Oh, yeah, like every weekend. What do you talk? You don't come. I was always wondering why you didn't come to the podcast,
Krista,
of all
Krista,
hangouts.
Krista, shh. No, no,
oh,
no.
He's, oh, yeah, we don't like him. Never mind.
OG members.
I need to go, guys.
You just start crying. You're like, I got something in my eye.
But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was basically Warzone Firefight. It was more casual. I think we played Heroic. We didn't play the super hard one.
Mythic, fuck that. Holy shit.
Tom and I did learn that the grunt goblins, when they're about to die, they actually go into the suicide animation.
That's only the one with the plasma caster on it.
I'd never seen it before that.
We saw that
session,
like 3 times during our session.
The Needler ones don't do that, I don't think.
I hate the grunt goblin. He talks so much shit.
I think they're awesome. I would love for grunt goblins to be an infinite. That'd be so freaking cool.
They are awesome, but he's just so shouty when he's there and you're like, will you shut the fuck up, I want to kill you.
I mean, would you rather have that or would you have the round where like 40 Ward and Eternals show up and then they throw those just dark balls at you and shit?
Isn't that Halo 5's campaign?
It is Halo 5's campaign. It's just 20 Ward and Eternals show up every single mission.
I don't mind the Warden Eternals because I save my Oni scorpions for them. Like, it's, if you want to just enjoy yourself.
Are you flexing your Rex on us, Aaron? Is that what's happening here?
Oh, that's not very nice.
Look, I only have mid-range Rex. I don't have any Hannibal gear, so, like, it's fine. We can wrap mine up with I didn't do an awful lot this week, so it'll be grand. I was supposed to play... I was going to play with David during the week, and I accidentally got very drunk on about... Well...
How do you accidentally get drunk?
Let's be specific. I only had two glasses of whiskey, but I'm fairly confident there were about 8 measures in those two glasses. So that's probably where it went wrong.
So you had two double shots of whiskey.
I think I may have had about 2 quadruple shots. It was just one of those things where I was like, I'm going to relax. I'm going to have a whiskey. Everything will be very chilled. I had one, and then I was like, I'm going to have another one. And then I sat there and realized, oh, I went past the stage where I'm a good gamer and I'm now too drunk to play. So that was the end
Wait,
of that.
You're a good gamer?
Yeah, that's news to me.
How dare you? Do you never have that stage where you have like that, like one or two drinks and you could like take down anyone? I was at that stage for about 6 minutes and then I went on out the other side. I realized, you see, I haven't touched whiskey since lockdown because I felt it was like a step too far to sit in my house for a year in lockdown just drinking whiskey in the dark or something.
That sounds amazing.
It seemed a little too far, so I've only drank beer for the last year. And then I was like, no, I've got like 10 bottles of whiskey in my cupboard because people keep buying me gifts. I need to drink these. And it just didn't go well. So apart from that, I haven't done anything gaming related, I don't think. I've played very little this week altogether. I'm meaning to get back into Stardew Valley to play last update. And my girlfriend just bought Among Us on Switch, so she's quite happy. That's it. That's all I have.
All right. I guess it's just me now. Or Tom, did you have anything else to say?
I actually did a ton of Halo stuff this week.
Oh my God.
So I filmed 3 Halo video reviews. I did the latest lot of Mega Constructs figures, and then also 2 of the Jazzwares figures. And I also finished a Mythic co-op playthrough of Halo 2 Anniversary with my friend who's never played Halo 2 before, which was really, really cool. And we basically got to the point with that campaign where we were doing the Flood missions. And we thought we'd got the worst Flood mission out the way with the library in Combat Evolved. And then we realised how horrible the Flood missions in Halo 2 are as well. So there were lots of checkpoints, lots of resets, but we got there and we're now onto ODST.
Oh, that's amazing.
So when you say Mythic playthroughs, you're doing Legendary All Skulls on?
I meant Heroic.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, I was like, man, Tom, you guys are awesome.
We're not going that hardcore, God. For my friend's first playthrough, I thought that Heroic Jackal Snipers were probably difficult enough.
I mean, Heroic is like the solid difficulty. Like, it gives you some challenge, it gives you some badassery moments. But yeah, good on you guys.
Yeah, we were just too pussy to do Mythic.
I don't even know what Mythic difficulty would be, because you have Legendary, you have Lasso. What's harder than Lasso?
Nothing.
Yeah, you just never play Halo. That's the thing.
You just never play it. You just uninstall the game. Dude, so many people play Mythic Halo 5.
Wow, those guys are badass.
I wish I was like them, just playing COD all the time. God damn it.
All right, I have done, like, nothing Halo-related, the end. I've been doing Star Wars and Mass Effect shit. Like a traitor.
Krista, traitor. I'm so excited for the Mass Effect collection.
I read the first Mass Effect book. It's very good.
I should read those. I read all the Gears of War novels, but I never read the Mass Effect books. I don't know how that happened.
There are 4 of them, and they're pretty short. The first one is a prequel to Mass Effect 1, so it'd probably be worth doing before the collection comes out.
I might check and see if they're available in audiobook format, because that could be worth getting into.
It's all about our best friend, Saren Arterius, the best guy.
There's my one Halo thing for the week, is I now have all the Halo books in audiobook form. I can now devote all of my Audible credits to other things.
No, you have to buy the Halo novels multiple times.
You've got to get the audiobooks of Escalation.
Yeah.
I might get the ebooks next, so I can do that thing where it reads the book to you and scrolls along on the ebook at the same time.
I really like that. I do that sometimes. That's how I'm able to listen to audiobook at like times two speed, is like reading along with it. And it's like I'm just downloading the information.
It would help me absorb the book better than just listening to it, because I feel like you don't get distracted then. That's the big killer for me, is you tune out and then you go, oh shit, a chapter finished, and then you've got to go back.
That's how I like do airfare travel, is like when I'm waiting at the gate and then on the plane, all that stuff, just audiobook, and then I have the digital ebook. I think I listened and like read, not Last Light, but the other one, Retribution, in like 2 days, because I was traveling for one of them and got like 60% way through the book.
All right. Oren, are you ready to take us to the Road to Infinite section of the show?
So we got the Road to Infinite, episode 16 of our 20-part series. Last week, or last time rather, we talked about the Jirohane, because they primarily make up the leadership of the Banished, as well as a few other alien races in the mix there. But we felt like they needed a little bit more backstory and sort of some insight that was worth talking about. So we talked about their biology, characteristics, their culture and society, as well as their overall history as a species. Discussed their dominance within the Banished and how that may influence Halo Infinite's storytelling as well as game mechanics. And even during that conversation, we started to dabble a little bit into what we're going to talk about today, which, as Krista mentioned, is the open world and post-launch content in the Halo franchise. Of course, we know that Halo Infinite will be a open world game, but it's not going to be open world in the traditional sense, and some people have been throwing at the phrase semi-open world. So we'll kind of talk about those discussions, and we'll look at all the Halo games in the franchise and kind of see what boundaries have been pushed in terms of making open world or semi-open world environments, because a lot of the conversation that the 343 employees are saying right now are harping back to the Silent Cartographer mission from Halo CE. So that's where we will start. So if you don't know, the fourth mission in the first Halo game, Halo Combat Evolved, is the Silent Cartographer. And it's a non-linear progressible mission where you explore an island and you can kind of choose which engagements you, the player, want to pursue. You can just kind of explore the island in a general sense. And as you hit certain checkpoints, Cortana will kind of guide you through the mission proper, or the golden path, as 343 kind of says, until you eventually get to, you know, those moments that you need to get to kind of advance the story. Going around the room, this virtual room that we have, do you guys get the sense that, like, there was, like, did you guys spend a lot of time in your first playthroughs of CE exploring the island that the Silent Cartographer was on, you know, hopping in the Warthog with your Marines and just kind of letting loose of trying to figure out where you needed to go?
Oh, 100%. The first thing I did was start driving straight into the water.
Really? you just wanted to see how far you would go?
Yeah, yeah. And then it gets all glitchy and weird. It's great. It's a great experience. Highly recommend.
It's just hunting the chaos. I remember exploring around it, and I remember going to the second portion of the map first one of the times I played through, and I'm sure they make like a comment about it not being the right place you need to be and you need to go back, which I thought was quite cool. And then one thing that's always stood out to me is there's this moment where I think it's either Fauxhammer or Cortana, I think it's Cortana, is talking about the fact that one of the pelicans is bringing you heavy weaponry. And if you go out at that point, there's a crash pelican that's got spankers. But actually, if you explore, that pelican's there the whole time, so it doesn't, like, crash in that moment. It's preloaded onto the map. Those are, like, a couple of the cool details that I spotted when I was kind of exploring it.
I feel like the first time I went round, I probably did what most people did. I drove the whole way around the island. I sort of looked at everything. Then I figured out where I was going. And then I drove back around and they directed me up the middle of the island. And I was like, what the fuck? There's a middle of this island. And then went up the path through the trees and then found the hunters and like panicked and did the whole thing. So I feel like everyone, yeah, it's one of those levels. Like, I feel like the only other one that you drive about in is on Halo when you're looking for the lifeboats, but it doesn't have the same feeling of openness as the island does, even though it's a bigger map and it has more like space. It feels very closed in because you're weaving through those cliffs all the time. So I enjoy just roaming around that big open space and you've got the water. And then like when you go and do anniversary version, it's just so much nicer looking. You've got stuff out in the distance and all, and it's good. I do, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I always, I guess earlier on in my sort of play sessions of CE before I kind of knew the map, would always find myself kind of like, oh wait, is this where I need to go? And I would, you know, even replaying the mission had its like interesting moments to kind of go and explore and be like, okay, is this where I need to go? Oh no, it's not actually. So let me pop back out. Or like, oh yeah, I need to go over here. Sort of a mindset. And it still left it as like a very kind of organic and just kind of interesting space to kind of travel through. So yeah, a lot of good memories from that mission. It's kind of arguably one of the best missions from the game. Or at least it's highly popular from the community. It's pretty great that 343 is taking this specific mission as inspiration. Because outside of kind of general backtracking for the rest of kind of that game, and even in Halo 2 and Halo 3, for the most part, the levels are pretty much linear. You kind of have your starting point, you navigate the map, and kind of just play around with the sandbox to kind of get on to the eventual end of the mission. So the kind of next example we have in the kind of release order of the games, and this is probably the first game fans first looked to when Infinite was announced to being open world, and that would be the open world nature of New Mombasa in Halo 3 ODST. I think this is probably the closest example we have to date of a space where, you know, you're the rookie, you get dropped, and you don't know where to go. You kind of have the superintendent guiding you along a little bit to kind of get your health and to kind of move you along from kind of one area to another, but not necessarily a point A to point B. Because you can play about half of those missions in any order, depending upon which, you know, artifact you find that kind of triggers the next mission. And it seems that this is a good basic comparison to what Infinite can be at the most basic. And it seems that they really want to take their approach to encounters on a ring scale. Because in ODST, like you don't have vehicles really. I mean, you could get like a ghost or a mongoose here and there, but there's no like large scale encounters that you would get in other games. And because New Mombasa is more of like a hub, there's not, you know, really any mission that takes place in there. So it very much is kind of just a getting from a point A to point B. And what Infinite is really doing is that, well, when you get from your point A to your point B, well, now you're just there and you just do your mission and kind of go in there. So to kind of go back to it, are there, you know, did you guys enjoy exploring the kind of sad saxophone rainfall of New Mombasa when you guys got your hand on ODST? Because I definitely really enjoyed kind of the ambientness and playing with the visor feature that Bungie added in there. And then like later on, like when you get your Sadie Story unlockables, it starts unlocking, you know, garages and stuff with ammo and your mongooses, and kind of discovering those spaces was very interesting during my playthroughs.
I think New Mombasa really holds a special place in pretty much anyone who's ever played this game's heart. It's, the atmosphere is just so well done and polished. It really feels like this creepy, abandoned city, you know. This is one of the first times you actually get to see humanity in a losing stance. Like, we were losing the entire time, but the games don't highlight that well as ODST does. When you're in an abandoned city. Everyone is evac'd, and there are aliens running about causing chaos and shit like that. And I think the open map was enough that it did not feel overwhelming at all. It was very natural, very organic, and I really liked it.
I kind of like some of the play dynamics that it brings in. And this is something I noticed when I was playing with my friend on Friday night. You kind of go from being in really broad open environments where it's like big streets and things that you can engage people in at long distance. You can make use of the so-called Magnum. And then you kind of go into these more intimate buildings where it's like tight staircases. In one bit, when you're going in to get Dare's helmet, there's a door that opens on your side and there's two jackals that run out. All that kind of stuff I really like, because it shows how you can use an open environment to give a player multiple different kind of almost tactical gameplay experiences within one package. And you can kind of change it up so the player's kind of thinking, well, if I'm going into a building now, do I still want this Magnum, or do I want to swap it out for a shotgun? Do I want to look for something else? It kind of adds a little bit more element of thought into how people approach the environment, which I think is quite cool.
I quite like the open world in ODST. Like, it's very different to the other games. Like, I know it's a small world. You have that map, and like when you really look at it, it's not that big. Although still for that, it takes a fair amount of time to like get from one end to the other on foot. But it's a good design and it's a good idea. I feel like it's something I think they've sort of hinted at. I feel like they're going expect something similar, because I feel like ODST and kind of Destiny have a very similar sort of thing where it's open areas interconnected. I know in ODST the interconnection's very obvious because you have to wait for the door to open to load the next area, but you get the same thing in a Destiny game where you run along and then you go maybe down a road and then you go into your next open area. Like, if it was like that, that's something I could be into. The thing I liked about ODST was the missions take place in their own maps. They're not, if you have an open world like that where you then go and do a mission and that's the only time you access that area, when you're in the city and you're standing beside the warthog and you're going like, oh look, there's the bit of the top of the building that's broken off, up there's the zoo, you could go through those doors and work your way through the zoo enclosures and drive out the top again. I kind of like stuff like that. And I feel like you get that a lot. Like, you get that in games like Destiny, you get it in games like Division, where you have this open map and you know that when I play a mission, that door over there opens and then there's a whole map in there.
And that's the kind of vibe that I feel like Infinite will have in terms of like how it meshes or how it blends the open world to the mission level design, is that you'd be able to explore that level within the open world. And they've already said they want to bridge this seamless sort of cinematic transition between gameplay, cinematic and gameplay, with how they're doing camera fluidity and stuff like that. And so they it seems that they're really taking what worked well in ODST and what's been implemented in some of these other games like Destiny and Division. And that's kind of my mindset going in. You know, we'll see how they do it the Halo way, so to speak, if it's different. But even if it's more or less the same, you know, when you assault a giant banished base, you know, you can go in there probably outside of the mission, but when you're in the mission, then that's, you know, the area that you're playing in. So kind of moving on from there, I wanted to talk about Halo Reach, because Halo Reach is something interesting that I'm not too sure that any other Halo game has done to date, and that's where the multiplayer map spaces have been incorporated into the campaign, or vice versa. I'm not really sure, you know, how Bungie did their level design. But all of the launch multiplayer maps can be found while playing the Halo Reach campaign. You know, I don't know if that will happen, so to speak, in Halo Infinite and kind of what the multiplayer maps we're going to be playing in there. But I do know that, to bring up another game, Call of Duty Warzone, I think, it's a huge battle royale. So it's a giant, you know, open world map, so to speak. But kind of in between some of the playable spaces, they have incorporated like legacy maps into this giant map. So, Tom, it sounds like you maybe might be the one person that's kind of experienced that. Like, do you see that? Does it work well in terms of like moving in and out of these environments between kind of multiplayer map areas and other just general open map areas?
So, firstly, I had so much anxiety about bringing up Call of Duty because I was listening to an earlier episode the other day. And Krista, I know you got very angry about Call of Duty being mentioned. It's interesting the way COD does it because they tend to balance it. So, like you're saying rightfully, a lot of the locations on the Warzone map also end up becoming individual multiplayer maps. And the way they do that, they kind of build the maps with sort of two different playstyles in mind, so they function well as part of a larger map, but they can also be boundaried off and work well as their own map as well. But the really interesting thing, especially with this modern generation of Call of Duty, so Modern Warfare 2019 and also Call of Duty Cold War, is that a few of the campaign maps have also become multiplayer maps. So a really good example would be the map Piccadilly in Modern Warfare, which is literally the exact same map that you play the second campaign mission on in that game. So I think it kind of speaks a lot to the attitude in the industry perhaps changing a little bit, where they're approaching these environments with the idea of getting multiple different play patterns out of them and how they can make them overlap for those different kind of game modes, obviously single player and multiplayer. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you see that in Infinite, purely because just off the top of my head, obviously you mentioned the Banished Fortress that we saw recently. I can imagine if they put a lot of work into the interior design for that, as an example, they would probably consider making that a multiplayer map as well if it's structured in that way. I imagine they've got like multiple different considerations in place at one time to kind of justify those things.
Oh, I think that's the perfect example to kind of implement a multiplayer map into this open world space, since the multiplayer maps are, you know, smaller in that scale. But yeah, no, that would be really cool and interesting if they kind of went down that path. But yeah, I mean, I just wanted to bring that up as something to think about as we learn more about how they're designing Installation 07 and where they're pulling their inspiration and other design elements from. All right, lastly, from a game standpoint for our open world, there are kind of two instances from Halo 5 Guardians, the most recent game from the main first-person shooter line, and that is the introduction to the non-combat missions. There are three of them in Halo 5's campaign: Meridian Station, Alliance, and Before the Storm.
Very well-loved.
Yes. Krista, I think I'll go to you about these because I know you and the Mission Debrief crew talked about these at length during your Halo 5 series. But to kind of introduce in these missions basically involved the Osiris team bouncing around between different characters and getting, again, the kind of Golden Path story to, you know, from A to B, but also interacting with other characters on the side to learn sort of their histories and their insights and just kind of give some other world building elements to it. What else would you add on to that as sort of design and storytelling?
There's a couple missions, like a couple objectives in there. Most of them are passing information between a couple people. One of them is like overhearing conversations and gathering information that way. And then, of course, you just kind of have this open map to kind of run around in. There's not much to do, but there's, like you said, a bunch of data pads and Easter eggs and kind of stuff like that. These missions do feel very weird. They feel like they were supposed to be incorporated into something larger that we didn't see when we were playing the game. And so now they're kind of just a shell of something that might have happened. But it might kind of hint at some kind of hub or something like that in Halo Infinite, where you do get this area where everyone is passive and you can just go around and talk to people and get quests and figure out what's going on next and stuff like that. That's probably the best way to describe it. It's just kind of a hub world.
That seems to be the easiest way to think about it, and I think the simplest way to implement it. And we do know there are some type of like encampments or other sort of like bunkers or stuff on the UNSC side or you know, if you see, I think they've mentioned, if you see some Marines, you can pick them up and bring them back to your quote unquote base and kind of go from there and, you know, continue to kind of build up your resources or your firepower and whatnot. And you'll kind of see how that evolves.
I feel like it'll be, if we get something like that, like a space, like a non-combat area, it'll be very much like a single player version or an offline version of like what we expect now for a social space. And I feel like if those screenshots we saw of the weapons tables with the Spartans standing behind them, I feel like things like that could all very easily be situated in a physical world in some sort of like social hub. I love the idea of just having like a hub or a base where you can invite your co-op players and go like, look at my base, look what I have, you know, I have this shit.
That's actually a really good point. Like, if, you know, will there be like drop in, drop out co-op, or do you need to go back to a menu, or you can you just go to like one of these hub spaces? And once you cross like a boundary for the, you know, the doorway of a of Alpha Base, so to speak, now that you're in this non-combat zone, you get like a little HUD indicator that you're here, and you know, your little icons that you can, you know, do whatever that you need to do, and that's where you can kind of invite friends to then join your campaign experience. That would be very interesting if they did something like that.
I feel like drop in and drop out would be the best answer. Not to mention Division too often, but it's one thing I appreciate about it is I can be on a mission and David or Tom can just drop in and they're there. They load into the last checkpoint, they come join me, and then the game automatically ramps up the enemies, because you get a feel for when you do a mission by yourself, the enemy strength is a certain amount, and then as you add players, although granted in Division, I think that curve of difficulty is a little bit sharp sometimes, you'll notice that when you hit the next checkpoint, the next area will have more enemies than usual. And then if a third person drops in, you get to the next area and there's more. So I would like that, because I'd hate to have to go back to a menu all the time to invite someone. Or if it's an open world game with a physical hub area base, I'd hate to have to trek back or fast travel all the time to like get someone in and restart a mission from scratch with a person or anything like that. Any like joy of a semi-open world would really quickly be sapped away if you were having to like restart missions to get your buddies in, things like that.
You make a good point, Aaron, as well, because it doesn't just like go upwards if you have people join. It goes back down if people leave as well. Because I can remember there was a time when we were doing one of the boss fights on Division and you had to leave before we got to the end. And at any other point, I'd be like, in any other game, I'd be like, well, crap, I've got to do the boss on my own now. This is going to suck. But it like automatically adapts itself. So it's accounting for the fact that I'm there on my own. So I think that makes it a lot more accessible, and it also means you don't have to be so rigid in your playtime ultimately, because obviously if something happens in real life, sometimes you do have to turn the Xbox off and go and deal with it.
Yeah, and they've kind of hinted at that, like they've talked about the open world adjusting to your play style. I think in that last, was it the last blog they talked about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they talked about how if you're on foot, the game will know to kind of generate encounters that are fun to play while being on foot versus being in a vehicle or in a flying vehicle. The game kind of picks those encounters based off of what your status is.
So like if it could do that, I'd like to hope it could also adjust to there are 3 Spartans in this squad. Let's ramp it up accordingly. And instead of maybe a 4-man enemy patrol, I'm going to run into a couple of Phantoms. Hopefully they're like taking things like that into account.
I'm sure they are. I'd be very surprised if dropping in and out and adaptivity in the world wasn't a thing.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes in games you just get bigger bullet sponge on the enemies, and that's all that really happens when you bring a friend along.
Destiny, you mean?
Yes.
I think enemy density has increased in past Halo games with more players in a campaign. Definitely know it's in Halo 3 and Halo Reach. So I would imagine that they've just kind of continued that. But yeah, I'm sure with an open world game, you'd have the space to do that on a larger scale with, you know, if you have 2 versus 3 versus 4 players in your campaign session. But yeah, to kind of just move along this other topic for Halo 5, there's the kind of the Warzone maps and just overall what Warzone is. And the reason I bring it up is because something the 343 is continually talking about their mission design approach for Halo Infinite is how there's many different ways to do something and different missions or quests to do on the way to the Golden Path. And so with Warzone, you know, you have plenty of different objectives. You can assault a base, you can defend your base, you can push a boss, you can just push normal sort of PvE enemies, or you can go right into the fray of real multiplayer Spartans. And there's a lot of different avenues to achieve those goals, whether you want to go around a rock or go fly over a base to get behind them. And you kind of have this organic sandbox that you can play in that I feel like is, you know, at least something to look at as a sort of similar game philosophy to how Halo Infinite's mission design might be approached. Just kind of wanted to mention that one. Finally, we have our Inside Infinite blog post that came out last month in February, which was bringing Zeta Halo to life. We did have some discussion in there that kind of pertains conveniently to our topic, and I think they all come from Joseph Staten, so I'm just going to read the kind of quotes we have here. So he says, "From a distance, it might appear that we're building an open world game, but it's not really that case. We're making a Halo game, a sandbox shooter where our goal is to make you feel like the most powerful actor in a rich, emergent sci-fi combat simulation. Which is to say, we've designed Halo Infinite so that you're freer than you've ever been to do what Spartan super soldiers do best. Survey a battle space, plan your attack, engage the enemy, deal with whatever surprises the sandbox throws at you your way, and then rearm for the next battle. So then, what kind of game is Halo Infinite? Is the most open and adventure-filled Halo game ever. It is the Halo game that we could only dream about making 20 years ago, and we can't wait for you to explore it."
Those descriptions did things for me.
Yes, if that doesn't get you excited as a Halo fan, then you're not a real Halo fan.
It seems like they're really saying, like, this is going to be a story that you're going to be involved in, and you're going to feel the story and be a part of it, and it's a breathing, living world that you can kind of manipulate with some of your decisions, I guess. Which is good, which gets me very excited, you know? I'm all in on the lore and the story and stuff like that.
So, to kind of take that, as well as the other game plays decisions and stuff from the other games that we've talked about, I have like two questions here that we can kind of just get into before moving on to post-launch. It says, of the Halo titles that we've mentioned, which, if any, do we think the Halo open world gameplay will feel most like? Or do we see ourselves taking from different games and kind of making its own thing? So Tom, I know you very much have been wanting to talk about this, so I will go to you first. How do you respond to the Halo franchise and how they've dealt with open world, and what do you want Halo Infinite to take?
So I think it's really interesting seeing how they've iterated and how they've kind of slowly given us more and more of a taste of these wider, more open environments. And I think that Halo Infinite's probably going to pull from a lot of different places. So I can imagine, obviously, ODST. We already know that Halo Infinite has got a kind of navigation map similar to ODST, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's ways to kind of unlock specific objectives or specific weapons by doing additional quests, kind of similar to the Mongoose caches. I think that would make a lot of sense. But I think actually just listening to that description, and especially the survey a battle space, plan your attack, engage the enemy, and then rearm, that makes me think a lot of Warzone. So I can see it really functioning similar to that, where perhaps if you've done a lot of side missions, for example, like say you do a side mission where you go and help a Scorpion tank get back to the base, maybe that expands the sort of selection of weapons and vehicles that you can choose from, and you can choose to take on your next mission, which I think will be quite cool. I think obviously we spoke about having some kind of hub space and some kind of base, And I reckon that's going to be an essential component of the game. I can imagine that being the place where all your resources go, where you go back and get these things. Because it would just kind of make the most sense. I mean, I can't remember who it was in the YouTube video was talking about a scorpion and how they had a scorpion for one mission and they then carried it through to the next mission. Now, at first I was like, okay, maybe they just drove from one mission to the next mission. But actually, as I think about it more and more, it would probably make sense that you have some kind of garage mechanic in place where you take that back to the base and you store it so you can use it for your next mission if you want to use it. I think that kind of approach would make sense to me. So I guess I see it being a lot of Halo 5 in terms of the sandbox elements of Warzone, but obviously mixed in with the more narrative focus that ODST has, where there'll actually be a lot of storytelling in the environment. So we already know, for example, you have to rescue Marines. You might see a squad of Sentinels going towards a Forerunner structure. I think all of that's just going to help to build up the lore around Zeta Halo and ultimately give us a lot more story around the location we're playing in as well.
I pretty much 100% agree. Krista, Aaron, do you guys echo the same sentiments, or do you have kind of other either hopes or predictions for kind of how 343 pulls from past Halo games to make Infinite what it is?
I think Tom was spot on. Good job, Tom.
Thank you very much. I'm here all week.
Oh, really?
I think it makes a lot of sense that ODST is kind of the inspiration for the sort of world you're going to get. But if you think of where Bungie went after they did ODST and then they moved on to Reach and the maps they make in Destiny and the way they make them, I think like a strong vibe of how they go will be how we'll see things. I think they'll throw their own spin on it. I think we'll get stuff we weren't expecting in it. The idea of some sort of social space, I like that. I'd be curious to see what they throw in it. But I think like if you look at things like those, I don't think a game like Division really is the way that they're planning to go, because that's very much one continuous open world where you unlock locked off areas to play missions in.
But I actually think that's what they would want to do. As you progress through the game, you would unlock different portions of the ring, and you can, you know, if you don't want to save those Marines in the far distant area or explore this underground cave, you could just fly over it all and just go to the next mission marker and just start that.
I think it won't be a continuous open world game. I think it will be something different.
I think I know exactly what it's going to be just off of what you were saying, Aaron.
Let's hear it, Tom.
They said very specifically in the latest Inside Infinite about the Pelican dropping you off at certain locations. In Metal Gear Solid Phantom Rain, I think it is, you have a helicopter at your hub and you can choose different open world environments within the Afghanistan map to drop into. So there's like 8 different quadrants on a big map and you only get dropped into one at a time. But then obviously you can use the helicopter to travel between them. So I wonder if it's going to be like that, where the Pelican is your central hub and you use it to navigate between all of those different kind of boxed off worlds, which are open worlds within themselves.
That would explain the sort of semi-diverse biomes that was also discussed in the Ask 343 video that we're referring to, if you haven't watched that.
I feel like it's going to be an open world, kind of like Dragon Age Inquisition or The Witcher 3, where you have these big maps, but they're all kind of segregated. So you have to choose which map you want to go to, and then you have this big open space you can explore and stuff like that. But then you can go to a different map and see a widely different area with a bunch of different things.
The thing they've talked about is like being able to jump in a banshee and fly to a different thing. That's what makes me think, because of the way the Halo's damaged and the way it's done, it's very much going to be large areas, almost like floating islands of the Halo. You will unlock canyons and you will unlock bridges and you will unlock causeways to get to them. And you may be able to fly from one to the other, but you're very much, you're flying from landmass to landmass.
They're very distinct.
Yes, and if you land in the middle, you're going to fall off because they have said that that's a mechanic. So I feel like that's how you're not going to be able to cross that gap between the land masses until you unlock them. So I could see that being like how you go through the game. You get your next area, you have to complete the missions or do a set amount and then unlock your way in progress, or maybe even fly to the next area in the Pelican and then like unlock the bridge back, and now you've got the ability to move between them.
It could be gondolas, because we know that the Forerunners love their gondolas.
Go away, stop.
Shout out to Halo 2.
But yes, I think that it might be these big open spaces, but then they're segregated. Like almost in ODST, we've made so many comparisons to ODST, but you know in ODST where every section is segregated by these big doors that you have to open. I think it'll be something like that. So it's either like Aaron said, like a bridge or a gondola, or you have to go through like a tunnel, like in Halo 1, where in the second mission, where to get to one place, to get to one half of the rest of the map, you had to go through this small tunnel. And Cortana says some very interesting observations about such tunnel.
Or our favorite mission, the library, how you have to open up all those doors.
And then go up the elevator, yeah.
I'm having flashbacks. Completely random fact, but when we played it, my friend texted his dad to say what mission we'd just done, because his dad used to play Halo, and he was like, yeah, I remember the library, I bloody hated that mission.
I like how everyone who's ever touched Halo Combat Evolved can remember the library.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Is there any other thoughts that we want to say about the open world aspect? It is kind of the bigger topic of our two-topic episode here. I don't know if we want to make any other comparisons to other games like Assassin's Creed.
It's going
to
be just like KOTOR, guys. Just like KOTOR.
But I think that's kind of the next thing. 343 said that, you know, there's not going to be crafting and you won't be able to, like, build your gun to make it kind of bigger in that sense. But are there other gameplay or progression-based game mechanics that are taken from other games that we, you know, might see in Infinite, or maybe would want to see in Infinite?
Something I want to see in this is basically a new game plus. I want the ability to customize my Master Chief. I want to change his armor.
Change his voice.
Into the camp. Here, why not? Like, granted, I know they probably wouldn't voice a campaign for him again, but like, if you could play in the open world and load in different voice packs like you do for Warzone Firefight, like, why the hell not?
I want to be Yap Yap the Destroyer.
But like, I want that ability. I want to be able to do kind of like they did in Reach. I want to be able to do campaign co-op with other people and go like, this is the armor I've unlocked. It may still sound like Master Chief, but like, this is what I've got, and see, like, replay the game like that. And while we were thinking of things with this game, I wonder if they go down the road of islandy areas interconnected and that's what the game is, then in theory they can DLC the crap out of it and keep adding islands to the Halo, hence the Infinite like name.
Well, don't get too ahead of yourself. We're going to talk about that one next. So, Krista, any final thoughts about open world, and maybe what are some other features from other games that could find their way in Halo for the first time?
I want to see stuff. Just show us shit. Come on! That's all I have.
Tom, I think you mentioned something about Far Cry. Do you want to say that before we move on?
Absolutely think that this game is going in the direction of being like Far Cry. So Far Cry, you have got enemy outposts. I'll use Far Cry 5 as an example. You had enemy convoys that you could destroy, enemy supply depots, radio towers obviously are the big meme in Far Cry. All of that kind of stuff I can see factoring into Infinite. And I think it's going to be a case of, just from the way they've presented everything to us, I keep going back to, like I said earlier, that quote about, oh, you could rescue Marines or you could follow these Sentinels. I think there's going to be like loads and loads of side missions that will have an impact on how effectively the enemy are able to fight back against you. So I could see, like, say, for example, you follow the Sentinels and it goes to a Forerunner structure. Maybe there's an elevator in there that goes to the top of a plateau that the Banished didn't uncover. And suddenly you have an Overwatch position that you wouldn't have unlocked otherwise. I think that it's going to take this principle of you can just play the core game and you can do the core missions if you want to and that's it. But actually, if you want to get really into it, there'll be a load of different side things that you can do to kind of augment your experience. And I think that's really cool. And another example would be in Far Cry, if there's a wild animal in a cage, you can shoot it and the animal will then start attacking the enemies. So I could see them doing a kind of similar mechanic where if you take the time to rescue some marines, they're actually going to accompany you on the assault, and so you've got more people than just going in it alone. I get really excited when I think about the comparisons between Far Cry and Infinite, because I think there's a lot of potential to do those kind of like mini, almost cinematic events in a way that would really, really benefit the immersion levels of Infinite. So I hope it does kind of follow those sort of models.
That would be dope. But yes, every time they say, do you see the smoke in the distance there? It might be some Marines. Maybe you should go get them. My first like response is like, yeah, let me go save them and let me use them to then help fortify whatever outpost I have. And then I would love to use these Marines on a Scorpion or in a Warthog to then go take out whatever Banished base like that. Like to be able to have that level of influence onto the to how to approach whatever I'm doing in the game, I just, it just would be like nothing I've ever played before, definitely in a Halo game.
Just wait until the first time they betray your trust and that smoke in the distance turns out to be a Banished ambush. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe you get there and there's like one Marine and he runs towards you and he goes, they killed them all, they killed them all. And then he turns into a flood. There, boom.
Oh my god!
One interesting thing I could see them doing as well is letting it factor into the story. So, I haven't finished Cyberpunk. I know that you can choose which character you take into the final mission with you. Can you imagine if, say, like, the final mission of Infinite's core campaign is a massive battle with the Banished? If you've taken the time to save these Marines beforehand, what if you have like an armor regiment of Scorpions that goes into the mission with you, or loads of Marines on foot getting deployed from dropships?
So like Mass Effect.
Yeah, essentially. I think that like having all of your small actions add up to some kind of big climactic event would be really awesome as well.
That's wild. That'd be really cool. And even if you can get named characters to accompany you, I guess, in the same way as Cyberpunk, since we don't know who's going to appear, but then, yeah, you and Jerome can go and, you know, fight Escherim or whatever the ending would be. That would be really, really cool.
I'm so sorry for getting everyone's hopes up.
Yeah, for all this to be wrong, and then we'd be like, ah, screw you, Tom.
It's like a linear campaign like all the other games.
Well, let us move over to post-launch content. We do have that discussion. It should move a little bit more quickly than our open world, because that is kind of the main sort of new selling point for Infinite. But because this is the next 10 years of Halo within the Halo Infinite, it does kind of bring some sort of questions and theory crafting on what that means for the structure of the campaign. Of course, there's multiplayer, there's Forge, and all these other aspects that make up a Halo game, and kind of where we can see it going into the future. So again, just kind of seeing what post-launch content has looked like in past Halo games across the franchise, the immediate sort of feature to look at is multiplayer maps. Halo has had a huge multiplayer presence over its 20 years, and pretty much every single game has had multiplayer map packs, with maybe CE being the only asterisk to where there were some extra maps added with the PC release, but otherwise no other official map pack. But Halo 2, 3, 4, 5, Reach, I guess ODST is technically one that didn't have multiplayer maps added in, but with ODST you did get extra Halo 3 maps. So if you want to look at it that way, as well as the RTS games, Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2, they added multiplayer maps after the fact, and leader powers and units for those specific games. So it's probably a no-brainer that we will be getting some post-launch multiplayer maps for Infinite, given how, you know, much that's been supported over the past 20 years. We're not going to spend really any time talking about that, but wanted to just recognize that that is part of what DLC is. The other side of it that seems to be the more likely avenue for post-launch content is with the campaign. And we have only very specific instances where we've had some post-launch DLC campaign content in the Halo universe. And the first comes from Halo 4 with the Spartan Ops.
Boo!
not executed the best.
I have PTSD from playing all those for Mission Debrief.
The cinematics were definitely the high point of that. But what's also interesting is that the Spartan Ops series was released on a weekly basis. And so every week you'd come back and there'd be new content for you to get back into, a next chapter of the story to learn about, and a cinematic that accompanied the five missions that you played. And there's a bit of a break as well between episodes 5 and 6. Or I guess between 5 and 6, there was like the holiday break, and then it came back at the end of January and then finished out after episode 10. So there's that, but then there's also the more traditional campaign DLC in video games that came out of Halo Wars 2. We had Operation Spearbreaker and Awakening the Nightmare. Both provided additional campaign missions and additional story for the player to enjoy. Operation Spearbreaker, of course, continued the Spirit of Fire's presence and story on the Ark and their efforts to combating the Banished, with two extra missions that focused on an ODST squad. And then Awakening the Nightmare was a much larger campaign DLC expansion that focused specifically on the Banished and their efforts to contain the Flood and its contamination on the Ark and from High Charity. So that was 5 missions, and it also arrived with other multiplayer modes, new leaders, and a new PvE event called Terminus Firefight. From these two sort of instances of post-launch content in the Halo universe, how do we want to start kind of just theory crafting what we think Halo Infinite will have? Because I think the immediate sort of mindset is to think that, you know, once you finish the Halo Infinite campaign and a couple months go by, however long, a year goes by, there could be a new section of the ring that pops up and a new Banished force kind of pops up, and that's the next thing that you can kind of take. So is that kind of what people are thinking, or are there maybe more dramatic ideas that would be implemented?
So I think there's not going to be anything even comparable to Spartan Ops, because Spartan Ops has a bad rap, and I think 343 is going to try to get away from that as quickly as possible. Honestly, like, I think we just have to go back to Bungie at this point and see what they're doing with Destiny. And I think the kind of way that Bungie has been supporting Destiny is going to be very similar to how they're going to be supporting Halo Infinite, where they have these big DLC packs, they're named, you know, like Halo Infinite, you know, the beginning of the end or something like that.
The Witch King.
The Floody Man.
The Floody Man. The Yap Yap.
Sexy Halsey.
Sexy Halsey. And it's going to give us a new area, a new storyline, a couple new side quests, maybe some new gear or something like that. I think that's how it's going to go. I think we'll unlock another part of the ring. It'll have its own little storyline, its own little side missions. And I think that's how they're going to go in the future. Kind of like how just regular, like, single-player DLC goes. Kind of like The Witcher or, you know, Dragon Age or even Skyrim. Like, because Skyrim had that whole, like, Solstheim thing where you unlocked this huge island and it had a main quest to it and side quests and other things to do. I think that's how they're going to go moving forward. You're going to get a brand new area. You're going to get a new thing, a new enemy, or something like that. You're going to get some new weapons and people to meet. And then every couple of months, they'll probably do that. And they'll probably have smaller ones, kind of like Destiny, where it's like little bite-sized ones. And then once a year, they'll have a huge one that comes out and like is a huge area and a bunch of extra stuff.
To just build off of your Destiny comparison, do you want 343 to fully embrace like the season structure that Bungie and Destiny is doing, to where you have a yearly release with the kind of big drop, and then every 3 to 4 months you have a new season that brings different like seasonal events and different missions within different areas that already exist in the campaign. Like, do you want it, would you like it to go that far, or would it, you want it to be maybe a little bit more simplified since Halo isn't an MMO?
Well, I think either way there is going to be some kind of seasonal event. Just because, you know, Halo has already kind of embraced that structure in Halo Master Chief Collection, and whether that's multiplayer only or it bleeds into the campaign is something we don't know at this point. The only qualm I have with these seasonal events in Destiny is that they expire. So you have a bunch of story stuff that just expires after a couple months. And for me, as a crazy, you know, lore person who likes to play all the story stuff, it's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass having to like be like, oh, I gotta go into Destiny and play this thing because it's gonna go away in 3 months and I won't know what happened. I hope that Halo Infinite doesn't have any story kind of structures that expire after a while.
Only Johnson expires in Halo.
Yeah, that he does.
Before we move on, I wanted to also say some information regarding Halo Infinite that we do know about, that came from IGN way back when Infinite was not announced, but when the gameplay demo was released. There was an interview with Chris Lee, and he said, Halo Infinite is the start of our platform for the future. We want Infinite to grow over time versus going into these numbered titles and having all the same segmentation that we've had before. It's really about creating Halo Infinite as the start of the next 10 years for Halo, and then building that as we go with our fans and community. And also shortly thereafter, there is free-to-play multiplayer, which, you know, unsure if that's entire multiplayer or just a segment of multiplayer, but inside Infinite's December blog, they did say that because they are free to play to an extent, it does mean that there will be some kind of premium cosmetics. And like Krista mentioned, they are definitely testing to see how seasonal content and seasonal structure would work in Halo Master Chief Collection, and will use that influence as a trial run slash beta to see how it's implemented into Infinite with its sort of seasonal content, on whether, yes, it's more multiplayer focused or if there will be some sort of campaign implementation. But kind of with that, Tom, what are kind of your thoughts on Halo Infinite's post-launch, either just out of pure speculation or based off of what has been done in the past in the Halo franchise?
Okay, so I think Krista's right to focus on the big D, but she's forgetting the other big D, which is Division. I reckon that we're going to see a very similar format to what Krista's described, with obviously different elements getting added every few months, maybe one big update a year. But I think they're going to go the Division route and add a brand new map, or a brand new hub area with a brand new map at each big update point. So I was kind of sat thinking about this while Krista was talking, and it dawned on me that it's the 20th anniversary of Halo, and we're at a point in a story where we could potentially go and revisit some fan favorite locations, because they're kind of relevant right now. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if maybe you see smaller hub worlds in DLCs with a smaller open world environment on planets like Sanghelios and Reach. And I could even see them setting something up on the Ark to tie into the Spirit of Fire story. But I think that the thing that makes the most sense to me when it comes to expanding hub areas is the fact that the Infinity is not present. And she is a vital part of the UNSC effort in the war against the Created, as we already know. So I could easily see them doing a DLC in the future where, once you've defeated the Banished, maybe the Created threat has become more prevalent again. So suddenly the Infinity arrives at Zeta Halo to assist you, and you unlock a new hub area on board the Infinity in the Spartan Armor Bay, and then also have a series of missions, maybe more linear missions set in different locations that you're deploying to from the Infinity. I just think that kind of model to me would work really well, because I know with Division, warlords in New York were so well received by the community that they extended their post-launch content plan. So clearly there is a desire for people to have new open world environments to explore as well. So I think finding a story mechanism through which they could do that, whether that be with the Infinity, like I say, or maybe picking up some of the plot points on planets like Reach and San Helios, it would just be an interesting way of adding those big DLCs, but also adding more diversity in environments, and then maybe giving us those biomes that aren't going to be part of the Pacific Midwest biome at the initial launch, because we know that they'll probably want to explore them further down the line. I think that would just be quite an organic way of kind of fitting that all into one package.
If 343 uses Halo Infinite to tell stories outside of the ring, I think is huge. If that's their goal for this, then more power to them. And it honestly makes a lot of sense. Specifically with Chris Lee saying that it's about, where does he say it? It's right here. Going into those numbered titles and having all that segmentation that we had before. What if Halo Infinite was around 10 years ago to where you could tell the story of Halo Reach and tell the story of Installation 04 in the same game, but because it's two different locations and one's a new season or a new big, you know, chapter that's released every year or something like that. I feel like it can get you to, you know, you could bounce to the arc and tell a story about the Spirit of Fire in Halo Infinite, or you can bounce around to San Helios and see what the Swords of San Helios are doing. I think it really opens up the narrative structure of how 343 can tell stories. I am 100% on board for all of those stories to not be a Master Chief story, if that just means we get to use, you know, the kind of gameplay foundation that Halo Infinite has, but then in these different stories, in these different places, to kind of continue these other gameplay stories, I think is phenomenal. That if that's their end game, then major props to them, because, you know, it's always great to have more stories that's not Master Chief, while also having that awesome, of course, iconic Master Chief story at the forefront. So you get that with Halo Infinite, you get that with maybe some other DLC, so to speak, down the line. But then this is now a platform that you're able to explore other stories, other smaller stories with other characters, while not segregating the community and all that kind of stuff.
I agree with that fully. And I think, to use a word that Aaron is going to hate me for, much love, Aaron, Halo is focusing very heavily on transmedia, so it would make a lot of sense from a marketing standpoint to use Infinite as a vessel to show that there are other stories around the Master Chief. Because I think if you're saying in game, here's four or five different characters, each with their own strong story, with their own strong environments, then people are much more likely to resonate and engage with the additional material that's around that core entry point of the game. And that would mean that you'd get more people engaging with the television show, you'd get more people reading the books and not being lazy like I am, you'd get more people willing to reach out and dip their toes into all of that kind of expanded bubble of material, because Infinite would be that vessel to encourage that.
I kind of feel like the guys have sort of covered everything. I think the seasonal update thing is the way they'll go. I think Destiny's as good an indicator as any that you'll get like one big season update, and then they usually do two or three smaller seasons for the rest of the year. Like, you get your one big content drop at the start, and then you get more additional stuff. Like, long term, I see the idea of adding like more landmass is probably, like, if you're going to go down that route, I think that's how you go. I think that's like why it's called Halo Infinite, is you get to the stage where in theory they can continue to add chunks to this map, to this world. I know, kind of playing off Tom's idea, there was a rumor a very long time ago, and how much credibility you put into it, I don't know, but the rumor was that along with the main campaign where you play as Chief and you play through the map, you would have the ability to like pick up kind of ODST style flashbacks to missions as other people, and that's how you would play off world without being chief. You know, you may discover a message in a beacon, and then you might have a mission as the Arbiter on Sanghelios, and that would be your very, very standard linear campaign mission that you could replay over and over, and it would be the same every time. So, like, I'd heard that rumor and I thought it's maybe a little too much to get excited about, but I could see maybe something like that. Like, if you have this, you have this world that you're on, your chief, whether you can like modify him or not, and you get additional open areas, but maybe you do get side missions. Like, maybe that's how they do it going forward. You know, maybe you play as, so far we haven't heard from Blue Team, maybe Blue Team aren't there. There's a good way to get like your side content in. You can have a mission as Fred and find out what he's doing. Jerome and Isabel's an easy choice to do a linear mission on the Ark, fighting to see what's going on there. So I could see that. And multiplayer maps, obviously, it's free to play, so I'd expect they'll add a few of those every few months, maybe one or two a season over the space of the year, not including like fan-made things that they bring in and stuff like that. But I think there's been enough of a kind of like a grumble about the multiplayer maps in 5. Like, a lot of the ones they added have that 4G texture to it, and they have that feel. So I think they'll do more custom built maps from the ground up. They probably still add more of that other stuff, but I think that's maybe the way they'll go. And assuming we get Firefight back, like, that's maybe Warzone, that's an obvious route for additional DLC as well. So I could see them bouncing between those, but I think seasons, like, it's obvious with Master Chief Collection, they're like testing the waters, they're seeing what works, they're seeing what doesn't, and I think that's probably what we'll expect.
Well, right on. I think that's it, everyone. Krista, did you say?
I said things. I said some words.
Okay. I just didn't want to cut you off, but I think that about kind of covers, we're getting close to an hour and a half here, so I want to start wrapping it up. But there's a lot to unpack here, and kind of the goal of this episode was not necessarily to speculate what we want or what we think, but to just look at Halo's history over the past 20 years to kind of see what has already been done, kind of use that as a template, because one thing that 343 has really been hammering ever since Infinite was announced was that they want this to feel like Halo CE, feel like Halo 2 and Halo 3 with this spiritual reboot that they're trying to create with Infinite. So if they're trying to do that, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel and take from other games. They're really looking at the foundation of what those games and the rest of the franchise has done over these past 20 years. So we just wanted to take a look at those games and kind of speculate and build off of those.
Educated guesses.
Yeah, because we think 343 is doing pretty much the same thing. They're taking what has already been and iterating and building off of that. So, but thank you guys for joining. Our next episode on the Road to Infinite will be on multiplayer. So this was kind of focused more so on the campaign. So we will look at the multiplayer side of the entire Halo franchise, how multiplayer influenced CE and 2 into the multiplayer, really just how a first-person shooter multiplayer is like today almost, as well as the other games. And we will have one or two special guests for that episode, so stay tuned for information on that. And Krista, I think you can take us home.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find every episode of all of our shows on our website, halopodcastevolved.com. We've had a couple questions about this in the past. No, not every one of our episodes is available on our RSS feeds. Some of them have to be hosted on our website because the RSS feeds only take so many episodes. So, if you're wanting to dig deep into Podcast Evolved lore and you want to go back to the very beginning, you gotta listen to it on the website, halopodcast.com. If you want to listen to everything all in one feed, follow Halo Podcast Evolved on your favorite podcast service and leave us a review. Come on, give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, another special shout out to all of our patrons for supporting the show and making all of this possible. Head to patreon.com/halopodcastevolved.com or Halo Podcast Evolved to learn more. patreon.com/halopodcastevolved to learn more. Thank you, patrons. We really, really appreciate it. Finally, if you want to leave us a voicemail about this episode or a previous episode or about anything Halo related.
Or Jurassic Park.
Or Jurassic Park. Yeah, if you want to leave Tom a special Jurassic Park message, you can do that as well. We'll make sure he gets it. You can give us a call at 205-EVOLVED. That's 205-386-5833. And with that, I've been your host, Krista. And until next time, Evolved!
Evolved. I love that quite a bit as well.
That was beautiful. Thanks so much.
That's what if we started the show like that? Like, we just press, they press play and it's just
3, 2.
I can't even do it.
Welcome, Spartans, to Podcast Evolved, your home for Halo. I'm here in your ears.
Oh my god.
What have I signed up for?